dancing on the beat.
The drops are getting in my shoes, and the laces alone can't take away my blues. Are you only passing through, or are you gonna love me?
Fighting back the tears, hopping up on stages and facing all my fears. But I'm sick and fucking tired of only rapping for these rappers. They should get a SAG award, they all some fucking actors. You think you the same as me, cause we both are spitting raps. But there's a difference, cause we both ain't spitting facts. You frontin' like a G, but you soft as Milo cream. I ain't ever been a G, but I give this all of me. I ain't in this for the money, you can keep your racks on racks. But if you wanna battle, I got tracks on tracks on tracks. See, I spit this for the people who ain't got a fucking voice. And what you're chasing's evil, and you got a fucking choice. I'm just hoping that they love me when they open up that track and tell their friends about me like this shit is fucking crack. Yeah, I'm hoping that they love me when they open up that track, so I'ma keep them coming as long as y'all are coming back, man. Building such a rapport, and yeah, I hope it stays. I'm cocky on the mic, but in life I think you're quitting this. But the fans are listening, and that's the difference. So I'ma keep on spitting, spilling venom with the message. Since we built this in the kitchen, always threatened that I'd wreck it. And now we got a team, thanks to Knack and Robin Michael. Complex Records, motherfucker, got me higher than the Eiffel. And I ain't smoking nothing, just the love has got me lifted. People that I never met, all saying that I'm gifted. Thank you all. For you I'm beating all the odds, but if you ain't with it, you can take a fucking promenade. Yeah, I know you're hungry like the last day of Ramadan, and I'ma feed you till you're fat as Kevin Smith at Comic-Con. Hoping that you love me when you open up the track, so I'ma keep on giving, so you'll all be coming back.
Shows we have available for your free consumption. They're all free, they're all funny, and they're all fucking pod gods. Go check them out. Podgodsnetwork.com, 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 podgodsnetwork.com.
You are now listening to Blogging Under the Influence, where my dad and his buddies get drunk and talk smack. Talk smack.
Talk smack.
Talk smack. Hey, I'm the life for the party. Hey. Doing what's up, yeah. Now everybody raise your cup.
Yes, sobriety sucks. Welcome to Blogging Under the Influence, episode 92. My name is Mick.
And I'm Brendan.
Joining us for the first time in like, what, 3 fucking months, man?
Yeah, it has. It has. It's been the longest time, hasn't it? We recorded that massive podcast just before Christmas, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I've been so busy with work and shit, and basically getting pissed every weekend. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to say that. I've been doing 180-hour weeks, and I've only slept 10 minutes in 2 months. Now, basically, it's been me just getting hammered every weekend.
So you've you graduated from college, like, shortly after we started doing this, right?
Yeah, I did, yeah. And... yeah, because I was a late bloomer. In the early days, I'd obviously had jobs before, but I don't know. It's completely different now. I've got a different kind of boss. She's Canadian American, and I swear, and I've said it to her face. I think she's actually a Terminator because she is hardcore. There's, you know, if we say let's meet at this time. She's there at least an hour before, you know, doing fucking bench presses and shit and going, yeah, well, I've been here 17 hours. She is that kind of person. So, yeah, it's been a rude awakening from just being like a college bum, just spending all the times in the student union bar getting pissed and barely passing my course to doing 50, 60-hour weeks. It's a fucking... It's a hard knock life, unfortunately. Yeah, it's been good.
But this is new to me because you had a different job other than what you're doing now, right after college, right?
No, this is it. But
it's the same thing.
Yeah, it's sort of evolved. Do you want me to speak about it a little bit? Because it sounds like I'm cloak and dagger sort of shit.
Right.
So, I'm like some sort of special ops guy. No, when I started, I got out of college, university as we call it.
Right.
In proper English. I sort of went and did the customer service side of the thing that I'm doing now, but...
Oh, okay.
So basically it was sort of like telemarketing, but telesales side of it. And then it really grew from there. And what we do is we pick up used cooking oil and turn it into biodiesel.
Wow, that's awesome.
It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. But for whatever reason, the Terminator boss saw something that she liked in me, and my role has really grew from there up until the point now when we're actually getting our own vans and our own vehicles and our own routes. So it just keeps growing. But from starting out of college, this is it. It was sort of a baptism of fire. Not doing anything, just sort of sat around on my ass watching YouTube to then doing like 20 hours a week. Just on the phones to now doing sort of 50, 60 hours. It's been intense, and it's only been 6 months.
Yeah.
So the role is just bigger and bigger all the time. But it's good. It keeps me off the streets and out of the gang life.
Keeps you away from your thug thizzles.
keeps me away from that street life, yo. That, you know, I would be so a part of if it weren't for this, because I'd be holding it down.
you'd be slinging bath salts in front of Big Ben.
Well, you know, I'll be on the corner, you know, doing what I do, you know, that sort of thing. Derby's finest gangster, that'd be me. Derby. God bless it. Yeah, because it says on the BUI, I've noticed that on the BUI site, that I'm London, and I'm totally... Is there any way of changing my location? Because London to me is like 200 miles away. Now, 200 miles for you guys, you do 200 miles in the morning, but to us in little old UK, I'm halfway across the fucking country. You could put Nottingham, because Nottingham people know the Robin Hood thing, don't they? So.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I thought you were actually in London, though.
No, because that's where the Blimey is, isn't it? He's out that way, isn't it? No,
yeah.
No, I'm actually the Midlands. If you know, right. You guys look at the map and go, fuck it, you know, that's just a fucking... We've got national parks bigger than the UK.
Right. But, that's actually true, I think. I think Yellowstone might be.
You look at Yellowstone and you go, fucking, what are these guys moaning about having to drive 90 miles? You do 90 miles before we wake up in the morning.
No, we don't like to drive that much here. I only drive about, I think, 16 miles to work, so about 32 miles round trip. I don't like that shit.
No, but some of the distances that, you know, that you guys do from state to state, it's just fucking mental.
Right.
It's crazy. I don't drive. I don't need to, because I live literally in like the city centre of Derby, so everything I need is public transport.
Right.
And you know, it wouldn't be good of me working in recycling and reclamation and then driving around in a fucking 5-litre truck. It just doesn't look bad. Yes, come recycle your oil while I mow down a few more trees.
So how does this work? I mean, you said you work the inside sales part here. Do you basically just call restaurants, say, hey, we'd like to buy your old oil from you, or do they give it to you?
That's pretty much it, because I work for, like, I don't know, you're bound to have wholesalers there, but, like, I work for a big wholesaler.
Oh, okay.
So we've already got a huge customer base. So they're quite loyal as well, the customers that go to this place. So it's not a hard sell. There is almost no, well, there's no selling, because I'm giving them money for it.
Right.
So do you know what I mean? But you do get it sometimes where you get guys sort of go, well, these guys are offering me X amount and you're only offering me Y. And it, you know, and I just want to sit there, and there's just a part of me just wants to go, it's fucking free money, take it. What are you talking about?
Right.
But yeah, it's easy. It's an ease. That side of the job's quite easy. The actual collecting the oil, you know, it's grimy, mate. I was inside a what we call an IBC, which is like a big container, and I was scooping, and I don't even know what it was, mate, but it looked like old paint.
Ugh.
And it fucking stunk. I was in there with a shovel, like I was digging for gold. I was just like going through it, and then I was using this industrial degreaser type stuff, and I was burning my hands with it because I'd not diluted it, and I was just like, fucking get it in, get me in there. But yeah, it's a messy old job. If you just think about it logically, it's the shit that people don't want.
Yeah,
that we collect. Yeah.
I bet you come home smelling wonderful every night.
Well, I smell like I've been dipped in a chip vat or like a fry vat, you know, you guys call it. It's just, they're just stinking. And, you know, I'm single as well, so I even have to do my own fucking washing, which is a nightmare. So, and they've just bought me this boiler suit. So I look like I've got a giant fucking onesie on all the time. Do you guys have onesies?
Yeah, that's what we call what we put babies in.
Yeah. But in Britain at the second, there's a little, like, trend going around that adults are buying onesies. It's not like some sort of, like, sexual thing, you know. There's not just a million adults all into the baby fetish thing. But, you know, there are these things, and they've bought me this boiler suit, and it genuinely looks like a big-ass onesie, because I'm a big lad, and I think it was a double or even a triple XL, and I'm there in my big fucking onesie looking like a big bald baby with a big beard.
Is it white?
No, it's not. Oh. It's blue. it's a light blue one, unfortunately. I wanted the whole sort of feet thing in there as well, you know, so I really did feel like I was in a romper suit. But the boss wouldn't pay for that shit, unfortunately. She puts up with enough of my eccentricities.
That's funny.
Just on a day-to-day basis.
So who buys this oil?
The suppliers that actually turn it into, because we just collect the actual oil, and then it gets sent over to producers that actually to then turn it into biodiesel. There's a couple of suppliers that buy it, and they've got contracts in like power generation for water companies and for electric companies. So yeah, it's a massive business, but their end is a lot nicer than actually going out on the truck and getting it, because it's filtered and all this jazz. There's a lot of things that they do to it that I'm not privy to. It's like the 11 herbs and spices at KFC. I just get to know my herb, which is probably salt. I am the salt of the whole used oil food chain.
So do the trucks that you use to collect these, are they biodiesel?
They are through some of the collectors, but because we're just literally starting out as running these direct routes, they're not at the moment. But the guys down south that we actually send the majority of the oil to, they all run on their own biodiesel that they produce, and it smells like chips.
Yeah, that's what I was getting ready to ask. Does it smell like French fries when you're...
Yeah, pretty much.
Because I've heard that. I've never smelled it myself, but I've heard it smells like fucking French fries.
Yeah, it does. And you're just getting like triple whammy to the senses. You've got the oil that's sat in the back anyway, stewing in itself. And then you've got the shit that's coming out of the exhaust. So you're basically, it just gets into every pore of your skin. Sometimes I feel like I've been sensory raped, and I'm just sat in the bottom of the shower scrubbing myself with a Brillo pad going, get this smell out of me. I just want to be clean. Cleanse my fucking soul of chips. So yeah, it's a smelly job, unfortunately. But again, it does keep me off the street corner.
Yeah, and you're doing a good thing too. It's good.
Yeah, that's it, you know. There's not a lot of legislation in the UK about the amount of biodiesel, but in places like Germany, which a lot of our stuff goes to, they have like minimum mandate of how much biodiesel needs to be in every gallon, or actually in the supply chain. So I think it's about 7%. So they're quite forward thinking on that,
right,
which is good. You've always got China that are doing it and continuously undercutting everything that you try and do. That's my thought, kids, on the wonderful world of used cooking oil.
Well, Brent, we do generally talk about rap when we get together.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, it's the thing that binds us.
We got one subject in mind, but have you been paying much attention to hip-hop in the past few months?
No. This, what the fuck has happened? This is my thing that I'm, you know, I think last time we spoke I was bumping Rizada Beach by Styles of Beyond, and that was probably the last album that I bought. I went from, in the summer when we first started this, buying probably 5 or 6 albums a month.
Right.
Just fucking nothing. It just seems like, you know, the arse has fallen out of hip-hop. And I think and what we're going to be talking about shows what I am saying in real life.
Right.
This is what the state, I don't know, I don't want to be one of these guys, because those guys, I speak to them all the time. You know, I'll go into a bar and they'll have like a Public Enemy t-shirt on, and we've already spoke about this, but they'll be like, yeah, hip-hop stopped at 1985, and you just think, fuck you, what are you talking about?
Right.
Get out of my... But that's why I'm consciously thinking, I don't want to turn into one of those guys that starts spouting, oh, hip-hop's not what it used to be, it, you know, it's changed. I don't know. I personally went through a bit of a crisis when the South took over, when it was all sort of that dirty South sort of thing. What was that, about 2005, that sort of time?
Yeah, and really prevalent too. But
yeah, I literally moved away from it fully and got into some fucking indie rock garbage. I don't listen to it anymore, but, you know, I was just... all the shouting. I think it was the crunk era just on the tail end of that, and it was just Little John seemed to produce everything.
Right.
There was fuck all going on lyrically. It was just some guys shouting and really hard beats. I quite like the hard beats. I just didn't really like, you know, the repetitiveness of it.
Right. So. And I mean, the good thing about hip hop is it has evolved so much that there are so many different subgenres that you don't have to fucking pay attention to the shit you don't like. There's so much other shit going on.
Well, that's why I get angry at on sites like your Rap Radar and your Hip Hop DX and even allhiphop.com. You know, there are these fucking trolls that are on there, these keyboard gangsters that are like, oh, I fucking hate Wheezy. And like, mate, there's a million and one artists out there. If you don't like Lil Wayne, then don't fucking listen to it. Don't even look at his weird ad. You don't even need to see that weird that he's got with the fucking million tattoos ever. You know, there is so much going on,
man,
but there's not a lot going on all at the same time.
I seen this fucking meme yesterday or Friday,
yeah,
and it had a picture of a gremlin with 3D sunglasses on smiling, and then right underneath it I had a picture of Lil Wayne with 3D glasses on smiling. They looked exactly alike, man. It was funny as fuck.
Those women aren't going with him for his looks, are they, bless him?
No, they're not.
But, you know, I do listen to Dedication 4 that he put out. And it's all right. There's a couple of songs on there. But, again, I like the songs that I've liked the original of. Like he did a freestyle over Wish You Would. And he did, and him and Nicky did a freestyle over Mercy, and I quite like both of those songs anyway.
Right.
So I quite like that. But I don't know. Am I going to be rushing out to buy Am I Not a Human Being too? No, fuck that. Fuck that.
No.
Moron.
I definitely won't be.
No.
Have you listened to any of Macklemore and Ryan Lewis?
Who and who?
What?
Who, Michael Moore?
No. Macklemore.
No, but I keep seeing his name pop up. Is he any good?
Yes. He's super talented. I heard him for the first time I had heard him was on fucking Ellen. Well, I saw it on Rap Radar, but it was a clip from the Ellen show. And you know who Ellen DeGeneres is, right?
Yeah. She dances a lot. That's all I know about her.
Right, and she's a lesbian. Yeah. She has her own. She's a comedian. She has her own talk show.
Like, comedian in inverted commas, though. Yeah, she's a comedian.
Well,
not very funny, but
when she first came upon the scene, that's what she was. She was a stand-up comic.
Yeah. I can remember the Ellen show. Isn't she like married to Portia de La Rossi?
Yes.
Criminally fucking gorgeous. That
right.
Woman, I would cut my balls off and become a woman just so Portia de Rossi fancied me. That is the lengths that I am willing to go to win your heart, Portia. Me and you. I've got the tits. We can make it work, baby. I can tuck it in like that guy like from Silence of the Lambs. You know, for the time being, until I get the money to pay for the surgery. So, hit me up. Anyway, go ahead, carry on. So, Macklemore.
Yeah, Macklemore and Ryan Lewis were on there doing a song called Same Love.
Right.
And it's a real slow song. And it's about basically gay rights, I guess, and being treated equally. And 'cause I guess the guy's uncle is gay, right?
Right.
So the whole thing kind of hits him pretty close to the heart. So he wrote this song, and that kind of propelled him into the spotlight with that community. But recently, they put out a song. Well, one of the singles off the album is called Thrift Shop.
Right.
And you should look that up, man. The video's funny as hell, and the song's funny as hell. It's about taking $20 and buying a bunch of shit at a thrift shop and looking fly in the club.
That sounds like my weekend. That sort of shit I'd do for a podcast is go to a fucking thrift shop and buy stuff and then try and wear it. But knowing me, I'd just buy granny clothes and old spectacles and walk around thinking I was funny, but really just look like a fucking mentalist.
Oh, yeah, there's a couple lines in the song about taking your grandpa's style, or can I have your grandpa's hand-me-downs, and it's funny. It really, you can tell it's the... I guess the song that's supposed to be popular on the album, like commercially. Yeah. But the rest of the album is straight up hip hop, man.
Good.
It's awesome. I mean, there's three or four songs on there that I won't listen to twice, as with any album. But yeah. Good lyrics, good delivery, good cadence. He changes his style up quite a bit.
Yeah.
He can rap fast, he can rap slow. The beats are awesome. I'm pretty sure Ryan Lewis is the guy that makes the beats.
Hmm. I'll have to check it out. I think I've seen it on Hip Hop DX, but it's just been one of those ones that I've just gone, I don't need any more people in my life.
Right.
I don't need you in my life. I've just started to accept Danny Brown. Can you remember the whole Danny Brown conversation that we had over the Complex top 30, under 30?
Right.
Like, who the fuck? Danny Brown.
Yeah.
He's actually quite a cool MC, and I do like him, and I think we've touched on him before, but he's pretty cool.
Well, he went in on, and that's a Detroit MC, and you know how I feel about Detroit. I love Detroit music. But he actually put out a song this week too, addressing the MTV's top 10 hottest MCs.
Who, Macklemore or Danny Brown?
Danny Brown.
Did it? Oh,
yeah. See,
fucking use cooking oil, taking me away from things.
It's up on Hip Hop DX. I think that's where I saw it.
Yeah, I'll have to check it out. But yeah, so we might as well get into this list.
Yeah, but for the listeners, go check out Macklemore and Ryan Lewis. The album's called The Heist. It's on iTunes. You can find it everywhere. They're the coolest thing about them. They even have a song called Jimmy Iovine.
Right.
And the backstory, and he's the president of Interscope Records, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The song describes what happened when they went into Jimmy Iovine's office to sign a contract for Interscope Records.
Right.
And what ends up happening is they told Interscope Records to get fucked, and they went and did it themselves, and now they're millionaires independently.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Labels are still doing this, aren't they? They still think it's fucking 1995 and people can't. And this is what shits me when I see people banging on about, oh, you know, you haven't got a deal, you haven't got a deal. You can be your own. You can be your own publisher. You can get your own fan base. You know, there are lots of people out there that have done it. Look at Tech N9ne. Tech N9ne's probably the summit, isn't he, of where you be?
Yeah, well,
independently.
Yeah, you got Strange Music, which is his label. Mac Miller.
Yeah.
With Rodstrom Records, and Top Dog Entertainment, Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah, and there's Rhymesayers as well, isn't that independent?
Rhymesayers is independent, yeah. But none of them have really achieved much commercial success the way that Strange Music and Top Dog Entertainment has.
I've been listening to it again in the gym this week, but I fucking love Brother Ali's album. It's just positive music. Do you know what I mean? And sometimes in hip hop, you get down and the griminess is quite cool because it makes you feel like a gangster for 5 minutes. You know, but well, that's what that. I don't agree with 50 Cent on a lot of things, but. That is what he said. He said, the reason why people listen to gangster rap is for those 5 minutes you feel like a gangster, but then you can go home and obviously eat waffles and not have to worry about being shot 9 times. But it's, Brother Ali, it's just so uplifting. It's an amazing album. That's the only reason why I said Rhymesayers, because he's right. Signed to it, isn't he?
Yep. And that's, I mean... All things said, that's my favorite independent record label, because they have of course, Brother Ali. They've got a bunch of people in there, but Atmosphere, you know, that's my favorite group.
Yeah.
And Greaves. Have you listened to Greaves?
No. Is he good?
Yeah. Yeah, his album is phenomenal. It's better than that Macklemore album.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, check him out. I think his Twitter is at Greaves Music, but if you just look up Greaves on YouTube, you'll find a bunch of videos, and his latest album, the Together Apart LP, I think's what it's called. It's fucking amazing. He's just a very, very gifted MC. He's a white kid from Seattle.
Oh, all right.
And that's where fucking Macklemore's from, too, Seattle.
There's a lot of things coming out of Seattle.
So, yeah, it's kind of neat to see hip-hop come from that corner of the world, because there hasn't been a whole lot, you know, since Sir Mix-a-Lot. coming out of Seattle as far as hip-hop.
Well, you know, all the things I know about Seattle is Frasier and, like, the whole grunge sound. That's it. That's my knowledge. And they've got that big pointy tower type thing, haven't they?
Right, Space Needle.
Yeah, that's it. So, yeah. It is good to hear. You know, hearing that hip-hop comes out of places you wouldn't expect.
Right.
Good.
But, hey, yeah, let's get into this MTV's top 10 hottest MCs.
I noticed the laugh there at the preface in this list. Yeah. Laugh, and that's, I was looking at it actually when we was just talking about Macklemore, and I was like, I just look at it and going, this is what's wrong with fucking hip hop right here in this list. You know, listeners, go and have a look. It's on the MTV website. But yeah, where do you want to start? Do you want to start?
Yeah, we'll start at 10. Meek Mill. Well, right. What are your thoughts on Meek Mill?
Well, I haven't got any. This is the problem. These guys are supposed to represent the hottest in the game.
Right.
And all I know Meek Mill from is beef with Cassidy. Which,
right.
You know, if you're getting beat by the guy that did fucking that hotel song with R. Kelly, you know, I know Cassidy was a good battle rapper or something,
right?
But that is all I know Meek Mill for. Is he actually big in the US? I don't know.
He's big on the hip hop scene. You know, he signed to MMG with Rick Ross.
Yeah,
and he does have a following. A lot of people respect him. His mixtapes and his album this year did pretty good. So I guess theoretically does deserve a spot on the list. I just don't like the guy.
I think we're going to be saying that an awful lot, aren't we? Because I think the way that we look at hip hop and the way that MTV looks at hip hop is going to be slightly different. They're not looking for artistry and things like that. They're just looking at who is actually, you know, big at the moment, not necessarily whether they're good and big. You know, the fucking Spice Girls was big. Doesn't necessarily mean that they're anything like Bob Dylan or fucking John Lennon.
Right.
It just means twats go out and buy the music.
Well, and the thing is, I mean, you can walk up to anybody on the street that's not necessarily a hip-hop fan and say, do you know who Meek Mill is? And they'd say, no.
Yeah.
And never heard of him. And I think there should have to be a little bit more star power on this list to be on this list.
Yeah. It almost seems like they're trying to do almost like a 99-cent store version of what the Complex list did. Because the Complex did some like crazy out there choices, but some of them were really out there.
Right.
But this one, they've gone a little bit more mainstream, but they're like, oh, well, we're listening to fucking ASAP Rocky, and aren't we cool because of that? It's not necessarily that these guys are big right. outside of hip-hop, but, you know, they these are what they've chosen to define as the hottest acts in hip-hop at the moment, and some of them are just fucking stupid.
Well,
so the next...
But as I look at the list, better than years prior to this, I only see maybe two MCs, or two rappers, rather, that aren't MCs. The rest of them pretty much are MCs.
Right.
So they are lyrical, they are rapping, it, you know, but...
So is somebody that you know, it's likes hip-hop, but, you know, I don't... To terminology-wise, you know, the difference between an MC and a rapper escapes me. What would you lay down the difference as?
So
an MC is...
I'll just give you an example. Let's see. Eminem is an MC. 2 Chainz is a rapper.
Right.
Okay. Get it?
So an MC is, there's more artistry there. There's more, obviously.
It has to do with lyrical content.
Yeah.
And delivery. Right. And cadence. I mean, if you want to take it back to, like, old school, I mean, the MC was the guy who moved the crowd, you know? Yeah. So I guess they fit the raw definition of it, like a 2 Chainz would, you know what I mean? Because I'm sure he can get on stage, he can get the crowd involved, and he can put on a hell of a show.
Yeah.
So he fits it that way. You know, but an MC in my mind in 2013 is somebody with lyrical content and good delivery.
Yeah.
Two things which I don't believe 2 Chainz has.
No.
But we'll get to him later. Yeah, so
yeah, because he's insanely high on this list.
Yeah. So Meek Mill, I guess he kind of fits the list. He's not my cup of tea. I can't stand the guy's voice. He sounds like Mickey Mouse sucked in a fucking helium balloon. Makes Eazy-E sound like Darth Vader.
Best analogy ever.
So I just don't like Meek Mill's music. He is a lyricist. He can rap, but, you know, I'm just not a big fan of the music, so I don't like to see him on the list. But does he deserve to be on here? Yeah, I'll give him a pass on that. Okay. The next one, number 9, Future.
Who?
Get the fuck out of here.
The only thing that I know Future for is he did that. He had a remix with Weezy called Karate Chop.
Right.
And Lil Wayne got told off for mentioning Emmett Till.
Right.
So that's it. That is my beginning and end of who Future actually is. Oh, yeah. And it was the name of the guy out of 8 Mile, but I'm pretty sure that they're not the same people.
Yeah, no.
One is Mekhi Phifer, and this guy doesn't look like Mekhi Phifer. But I don't know who the fuck Future is.
Well, Future is pretty much like 2012-2013's T-Pain, except for he doesn't fucking know how to use auto-tune. And
they're not still on this auto-tune.
They are, and they're getting worse with it. T-Pain actually knows how to use the program and make it sound good and listenable. You know, people can argue that, but guess what? That many millions of records sold say otherwise. So T-Pain, he didn't invent auto-tune. He just figured out a way to use it and make it marketable. And I guess Future has made it marketable again, but he sounds like fucking shit. Like, he can't sing. The one thing the guy can do well is write. He can write catchy hooks and catchy lyrics and shit. He can do that. He's a little bit more intricate than some of these other rappers on the scene with what he's saying. But what really pisses me off is I heard, Elliot Wilson does the thing called The Truth, right?
Right.
And before this list was complete, he put Future as his number one hottest MC. And he kind of defended that by saying that Future is a rapper that does auto-tune and sings on the side, and T-Pain is a singer that uses auto-tune. And I was like, now wait a goddamn minute. T-Pain rapped first. His first fucking album was called Rapper Turned Singer.
Yeah.
You know, and I've heard the guy rap. T-Pain can rap his ass off. If you ever download one of his mixtapes, the dude can fucking rap.
Yeah.
And I haven't heard anything out of Future that tells me this dude can rap. Worth a shit. You know, all he can do is muddy up a fucking hook that he's written with autotune. And to me, it sounds like garbage.
Yeah, I've never been a fan of rappers using autotune.
Right.
I'm a massive fan of Kanye, and we'll talk about him later on in the list. But even I couldn't stomach 808s and Heartbreaks just for that fact that it was too much, and it just freaks me out. And Weezy using it, it just makes me want to cry and punch something because I hate autotune that much.
Yeah.
And hearing this guy's an autotune rapper, I thought Jay had killed it, to be honest, with death of autotune.
Right.
Fucking hell, that was so many years ago. Why are they bringing it back out the closet? It's fucking 2013. Do something different.
Yeah. I mean, the way he's using it does sound different. It doesn't sound like the way Lil Wayne was using it or the way Kanye was using it. Kanye's another one that really figured it out. And
yeah.
You didn't like 808s and Heartbreak. I still listen to it. I like it. I don't listen to it because I think it's a great rap album. I just think it's a good album. You know what I mean? It's not necessarily, some of it's rap, but most of it's singing.
Yeah.
And I like it. You know, I really like a lot of the songs on there, but I understand why the hip hop purists are like, meh. And it's like, well, that album wasn't meant for you. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
If you want to remain that much of a hip-hop purist, that's cool. But, you know, that music was I guess, for the masses more than it was a hip-hop audience.
And it
worked. He hasn't revisited it since then. He's thrown a little auto-tune in hooks or whatever since then, but he hasn't done a whole song like that again. I think his basic premise was that just, to you know, since autotune was so popular, just to be like, just to do it, just to show people how it should be done, and he won't go back to it. I don't think we'll see an 808s and Heartbreak 2, you know, unless him and Kim Kardashian split up or something. But
yeah,
that's a whole nother fucking subject.
So we've done Future. Please don't make me talk about him anymore, because I'm not really sure who this guy is.
All right.
And the next one, I'm not really sure who this guy is. This isn't good. This is not showing me at my best.
ASAP Rocky, he's from New York. He's a talented kid, but he's a cocky prick. he went to...
I should be on billboards underneath him.
Yeah.
He's a talented guy, but he's a cocky fuck.
He should be ASAP Cocky. His whole crew is like the ASAP crew, right? Or the ASAP mob or something. And everybody in the group's first name is ASAP.
Right.
Like, there's another dude that's in his group that's better than he is called ASAP Ferg or ASAP Fergie or something like that.
Okay.
And that dude spits fire. He's a very good rapper. And ASAP Rocky's a very good rapper, too. It's just he's kind of this generation's Kanye West. Like, with the fashion and the cockiness. And I seen an interview he did this week in regards to this list. He's super pissed off he's not number one. And just you not knowing who the fuck he is proves that he shouldn't be number one.
Yeah.
And that proves to me he may not, you know, maybe top 20, top 10, no.
I've heard of him. I've heard he's a bit, he's got like quite a southern style, is he?
He's very versatile, actually. He's got a lot of styles, which is what's good. If he would just shut the fuck up and make music and stop wearing dresses places, you know, he'd have my respect. But, you know, he showed up to the VMAs or something like that, wearing a dress.
A proper full-on dress.
No, he said it was a long shirt. And well, it's a long shirt. You guys don't know fashion. But he was wearing, like, these big-ass, ugly-looking boots and high socks and tight pants and a long... I mean, when I say a long shirt, down to his knees, right?
All right.
And then some some coat thing over the top of it. He looks like a girl anyway. So yeah. it made him look more like a girl. So I don't know. The kid will probably be super famous, and I'll eat my words. But, I can listen to his music, but I can't stand to hear him talk about himself. He said that, I'm not really quoting him here. I'm just kind of paraphrasing. But he said, who brought back double time bars?
I've seen you write this.
And I was like, what in the fuck are you talking about? What do you mean, who brought back double time bars? They never went away.
Yeah.
You know, the first time I heard first time I heard double time bars was from Twista in like 1991. And he never went away. Yeah. Ever. He's put out something just about every year over the past 22 years.
Yeah.
So people like that ought to have a real problem with this kid and just smack the fuck out of him. That's why I said Tech N9ne ought to smack the fuck out of him.
Yeah.
Because
you've got, you know, somebody, again, it's one of those things I think double time, when it's done well, it's done well. When it's not, it just sounds like, fucking meh. Sounds like an auctioneer.
Right. Yeah.
You know, Ritz, he's double time rapper, and I've heard him rap slow as well, and he's fucking, he's really good at it.
And he's clear and concise.
And I didn't even know that. So, does ASAP Rocky use a lot of double time, is he?
No, he doesn't. He doesn't use a lot of it, but he can, and he's good at it. You know, like I said, I'm not taking anything away from the kid's ability. He's a good rapper. Yeah. He really is. But, you know, I don't think he's put in enough work. He put out an album. It leaked about a month before it was supposed to come out. And it still did all right when it came out. So, you know, they've got a good foundation over there where he's making music to make a lot of money and, you know, continue in the game and stuff. But unless he cuts out this fucking hubris, then, you know, I'm not going to pay attention to him.
No. Well, it's all been done before, hasn't it? You know, the I'm a cocky wanker, you know, it was done before Kanye. It's now, you know, you've got to get a new thing. You can't just, I hate to use the word swag in any way, but, you know, he can't swagger Jack, you know, whoever. You can't do that to Kanye, and it's, you know, it's like, because it automatically diminishes from his true ability. As soon as he starts to try and pull a Kanye, people are just going to go, well, we've seen that done before by Kanye, and, you know, that was nearly 10 years ago when Kanye first came out.
Yeah.
Well,
the thing is, with Kanye was a really humble dude. You know, before he started making a lot of money, once he hit that plateau and realized that he didn't have to look back, he started letting some of his actual emotions out. You know what I mean? And this guy isn't anywhere near that level at this point, and he's acting like he's king of the fucking world. And it's like, hey, come on, dude, you're gonna have to pay a little bit more dues before before we look at you like that. I mean, Kanye's a cocky prick, but it's hard to disagree with a lot of what he says. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he can say, I'm the best, and it's kind of hard not to agree with him.
Yeah.
And
this is a guy that was fundamentally a producer.
Right.
You know, and that's something, isn't it? That, you know, that's what he was, you know, he did the Blueprint album for Jay-Z, and, you know, he talks about it on the end of College Dropout. You know, people just didn't know he rapped, and now he's this fucking, he's just massive, isn't he? And he's the next guy on the list, which don't understand why he's not higher. I'm wondering whether MTV have basically done a complete bitch move on him and put him lower in the list because he's oversaturated with the whole Kim K relationship baby type thing. And that's that's all that I can think.
Yeah.
And Cruel Summer wasn't his best album at all, even as a posse cut. It wasn't a good showcase. I don't think there's some good songs on there, but they were all the singles, weren't they?
Well, yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Like Brent said, number 7 on the hottest MCs list is Kanye West. And yeah, he had a problem with where he was put to. He did his first interview in, like, I don't know, a couple of years.
Yeah.
He called some radio station. I'm not sure which one, but he kind of vented about how Sway did him wrong, which I thought was funny. And it's something happened where he's like, I gave Sway my first TV, and then Sway did an interview with Kanye West TV. So that was all kind of funny.
That's like a strange, like, Prince-like moment.
Oh, exactly,
he sort of comes down off his cloud and goes, I gave him my first television. And you're like, what the fuck are you talking about? You crazy fuck.
All right. Well, I think we've talked enough about Mr. West on this list. We'll move on, but not before we take a break, because I got to have a piss. And we'll keep rolling here. I won't shut anything off, but I'll just be right back.
Marcus, why are you talking like that?
Get out of the fridge.
What? Get out of the fridge.
I was just trying something different, yeah.
Yeah, this is MovieCom, your alternative movie commentary podcast. Listen to us on the PodGods Network. Otherwise, they keep doing the voice.
I can't do the voice.
The voice is back.
I can't actually have done that. I can't think of any more.
Ah, much better.
Cool.
Drank 2 bottles of water since we've been sitting here.
Oh, yeah. Shit. So, are we moving on to number 6 now?
Who's number 6 on the list?
It's Big Sean. Is he signed to Good Music?
Yes.
Right. Yeah. He was. Yeah. What? Again. You know, I've heard the guy, and I'm sure I've probably heard him a lot on listening to Cruel Summer, but he's not really a guy that stands out as a good MC or as really as a personality, as somebody that I could think, yes, oh, I like that Big Sean song.
Right. Yeah, I can't even really think of one right now.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe we're just completely the wrong demographic. But this is done by Sway, wasn't it? He compiled the list.
He was kind of the moderator. So he wasn't involved with picking the people. It was the other people on the panel that picked him.
Yeah. So, you know, and obviously got given a TV. So...
Yeah, Big Sean's pretty big. A lot of people do know who he is. He is pretty talented. I'm not a huge Big Sean fan, but he's not one of the people I don't like either. You know what I mean? He's a good lyricist. He does put out some pop type songs. I think Guap was probably one of his biggest over the past few months, which is a good song. Mm. He did his thing on that Cruel Summer album, though. I mean, I think he had the most verses on that Cruel Summer album.
So it was almost like Kanye was sort of showcasing him.
Right.
There was a lot of Pusha T. Why ain't Pusha T on this list?
I don't know. That's what I was going to get to. But my problem is, if Big Sean's going to be on this list, then Pusha T should be on this list. And he's not.
Yeah, exactly.
And I don't understand why he's not. So
it's an odd one. Has Big Sean released the solo album yet?
He has, yeah. Finally Famous, I think. What it was called?
Yeah.
I think that was early 2012 when he put that out, and it did numbers. It did good. He's gearing up to release his second solo album, so he'll probably be on this list again next year.
Yeah, well, hopefully Pusha T will be on it, because Wrath of Cain. Is it called Wrath of Cain, is it?
Wrath of Cain was his mixtape that came out.
Yeah. So, and what's the name of his?
It's My Name Is My Name is Pusha T's album. That's supposed to be out soon.
Yeah. I didn't even know that Big Sean was on there a lot, to be honest. On Cruel Summer. All I can hear on there, like, the distinct, I don't think he's enough in my mind anyway. He's distinctive enough for me to go, oh, that's Big Sean's voice. You know, if you were like Push or you were Kanye on there, you know, I sort of tend to perk up and go, okay, what's these guys saying? But
one word, Brent, swerve.
Is that him? Is he Swerve?
Yeah, that's Big Sean.
Motherfucker, get off this list. I hate that. Can't listen to fucking Mercy without hearing your dickhead voice on it. Fuck off. Get you off list. Go now. Sit in a corner and think about what you've done for saying that word. Swerve. That's the 2012 version of swag. You're a dickhead. Right? That's all I've got to say about Big Sean. Now I know that he's that guy.
Well, I'm glad we figured that out. That's funny. Oh,
I was going through life thinking it was, you know, I don't even know who I thought it was. I thought it was might have been 2 Chainz. Was 2 Chainz even on there? But I just thought it was somebody saying swerve.
Yeah, 2 Chainz is on that song, but it's Big Sean saying swerve. He does the first verse on that song.
Oh, drop it to the floor like an ash. Fuck off! Do you know what? I like Nicki Minaj's version of that better than that.
Oh, on that Lil Wayne's mixtape.
Yeah. I like her verse. And that's talking about dicks dropping to the floor. That's how shit you are, Big Sean. That I prefer to sing along to fucking Nicki in the gym rather than you. Fuck off. Get off the song. Get up. Just sit in that corner. Damn you. All right.
Okay, moving on.
like out of the fire into another fire. This time a Canadian fire.
Right, number 5, Drake.
Did he even release an album this year?
He did not. Which is what is weird about this. I think Take Care came out like in October. Or actually, it came out in November of 2011. It was supposed to come out in October, got pushed back because his birthday's in October. That's why his label's called October's Very Own.
Right.
November 2011 is the last time he put out an album. And this list, and they're pretty clear about the rules on this, it only covers a year. So it goes from February 2012 to February of 2013. That's they can only talk about shit that happened in that 12 months.
So what did he do? What contribution was it to hip hop that he did? Apart from grew his hair a little bigger, so he's gone from like the Caesar to the big Caesar now. That sort of looks like a Cabbage Patch doll. But you know, what is he actually doing? What did he do in 2012?
I'm not sure. He's that started from the bottom. Came out, right?
Yeah.
It came out in February. I actually like that song.
Yeah.
Because he's like, I don't know, it seems to me like he's using his real voice in that song. He's not trying to sound like Lil Wayne.
Right.
He ain't doing that, whatever the fuck that cadence is.
Well, they all do it, don't they? They all.
Yeah.
They all sound like fucking dial-up modems.
Dial-up modems. Nice.
It's just like screechy fucking shit.
Yeah.
But you know, Wayne does it, Nicki does it, he does it. But yeah, it's just one of them ones that I've just, again, I've consciously never listened to him, because I really had high hopes for that guy, for Drake, when I heard Forever.
Right.
Like one of the first things, and then I went and listened to more, and it all started crony shit.
Mm-hmm.
And then talking about fucking him being a bit of a gangster, it's just bullshit. And that's how I see Drake. So I've not really paid attention to him, but that's bullshit on their part, because you can't have one song and then be top five.
Yeah, well, he was on He was on Poetic Justice with Kendrick Lamar, too. But you're talking about a feature. I don't know if a feature is good enough to get you on this list. I mean, it obviously is, but not in my mind. I think Drake fits all the criteria. If he had put out an album, he is, you know, popular enough. His music is quality enough. Whether or not you like it's a different story, but it is quality enough. He does have bars. He can rap. He can croon or whatever the fuck it is. But this year,
Canadian hip hop Illuminati, that's who's responsible for this.
The Canadian
Canuck World Order. They're pushing their boy up front, bastards.
So yeah, I would take Drake off of this list and put Pusha T right there if I got to rearrange it.
But saying that, Pusha T hasn't released anything. He released his mixtape, didn't he?
And he released his mix. He was on a Cruel Summer album. And he was all over it.
Yeah.
You know.
Would that be like, would that still be seen as a feature, or because it's pretty much like a posse album, would you see it as, I don't know.
It was several features on one album. You know, that's different from being on one feature, but you know, above and beyond that, Exodus 23-1. That song alone should put him on this list, in my opinion.
Yeah, definitely.
Because that's one of my favorite songs over the past year to come out of that camp anyway.
It is mine, and the Dreams beat is hard, and you know, Crooked Eyes freestyle over it is fucking good.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, notice we don't see any of the Slaughterhouse guys on here either.
Yeah,
none of them.
What is that about?
I don't know.
It's just odd, isn't it? But yeah, well, we'll talk about who's not on the list after we've been through it.
Right. Number four, your favorite rapper, Nas.
No. See, I've got his album, but I've listened to a few things that on it, and it's just Nas, you know. It's just, it doesn't seem
same old, like same old.
Change, yeah,
yeah,
yeah. He is like the lyricist equivalent of like a 10-year marriage sex life. You know what you're gonna get with it. You're gonna get some sort of, you know, quite clever sort of rhymes, but at the end of the day, it still doesn't light your fire anymore. There's nothing there that just makes you fucking go, do you know what? Nas, he's still relevant. And that, for me, I think, why is he on this list? Yes, he's big, but why is he big? It's one of those weird things. Like, you could see Jay-Z as being big, and he's big for a reason, because he's almost like ascended hip-hop.
Right, but well, fuck Nas, he has.
But Nas just seems to—he puts out an album every couple of years, and you know, people go, "Yeah, it was a good Nas album," but nothing more. Do you know what I mean? You're never going to break the boundaries of what hip hop and rap can achieve with a Nas album. He just sort of does his thing for his fan base.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Nas caters to the hip hop purist, and I don't think that's going to change. He had his taste of, I guess, pop back in the '90s when he put out "If I Ruled the World" with Lauryn Hill, and he really hasn't went back to that pop blueprint.
No, he did some success though with God's Son, didn't he, back in the early 2000s?
Right.
Yeah, that did some numbers, and you know, stuff like, was it I Can and Major Look? Those are quite big crossover things, as what I can remember.
Right.
And then he put out the Streets Disciple album, which is just long. It's like reading the Bible from the beginning and just fucking, I'm not stopping till I've read everything. And that's what it's like listening to that album. Because it just doesn't change. And he might have DJ Premier on there doing the beats, but I've never been a fan of DJ Premier. I don't like that whole jazzy.
No, my God. You need to go sit in the corner.
I'm just not.
How do you not like DJ Premier?
Yeah, because it's just that jazz sampled sort of a lot of strings and quite mucky sounding. For all the bad things about new hip-hop, I do like the big powerhouse beats.
Right.
I do quite like the poppy beats. I do like that. If they come with good hooks and good things, but that whole jazz, that's why I never really got into the Wu-Tang Clan, because it all seemed like it was, in my head, I don't know why, but it just mucky. Just sounds a bit mucky and a bit grimy. Like the Writer's Block remix, the DJ Premier version.
I can't
listen to it. I just, you know, there's fucking trumpets in it, or whatever it is, but it's some kind of blowy instrument. And I don't know. Go away. Give me the one that whoever did. Was it Eminem who did the original beat?
I believe so. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I prefer that sort of style.
Well, I do have to say one thing. I will kind of agree with you on. I like Royce da 5'9" better when he's not on Premier beats, but he loves working with Premier.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I just like him on other shit better. Because the way Premier produces, it's always a throwback to the mid-90s.
Yeah.
I mean, everything he puts out sounds like mid-90s, because he's a fucking mid-90s guy. And, he kind of orchestrated that sound back then, and he never really got away from it. But people, especially, you know, in our age range and older, they love that.
The purists, people that say Talib Kweli and those sort of historical backpacker rappers are where hip hop geeked sort of thing. People that listen to The Roots, those sort of guys. I don't listen to The Roots, but those sort of guys. I know what you mean.
But yeah, but Nas's album did well. Yeah. That Nasty Nas song, I love that. Or Nasty, whatever it's called. It's kind of he's kind of like, I'm going back to where I came from in that song. You know what I mean? And that was cool. Not a huge fan, but I do think he deserves to be on the list because he did have some success this year. Maybe not this high, but, you know, again, I don't disagree with him being on here.
Okay.
The next guy. My favorite rapper.
And mine too, obviously. You
know, Rick Ross.
He's more famous for not being shot into at this moment.
Yeah, something like that.
I don't know. What we've said, I think we've covered. The thing is, it's the fucking dichotomy of it, that we fucking hate this guy, but he seems to come up all the time
right.
in our podcast. We've disassembled everything about this guy, from his correctional officer past to his latest album being shit, but somehow people keep buying it.
Right.
You know, there is something about this guy, you know, I don't know. I just don't know. I don't know. This is what I shave my head up when it comes to hip hop. Why are you buying it hip hop public?
All right. Well, I talked to somebody yesterday who's not even a big hip hop fan, but he's like, you know who I really like? I like Rick Ross. And I was like, you gotta be fucking kidding me, right? You know, why do you like Rick Ross? And he's like, well, I can understand him. I find him amusing, and I think he raps pretty good. Right. So, you know, I don't know. I've just come to the conclusion that it's just not for me. And I don't totally hate his rap style, but again, everything sounds the same. He even seems
all about the same shit.
He seems to use just about the same beat every fucking song he's on. It's the same cadence. All he talks about is, you know, selling drugs, having money, and having women, which I find the latter hard to believe, even though he's rich. But
he could have some underneath them rolls, and he wouldn't know, to be honest. He just pull out a guy and go, oh, that's where you were. Sorry about that.
Or underneath his beard.
Hey. The beards are cool. I could get with the beard. Yeah, I've got a beard myself.
He's got a brothel under there.
That's where he sort of hides all his millions for tax evasion. He's actually set it up as its own country with its own principality. Rick Ross is a beard. Like the Vatican.
Boss. The boss brothel.
Boss Bill.
enough about him.
Sean should have a fucking stupid word off. Just Big Sean in one corner going swerve and him saying boss, and whoever stops gets a pie. That's what they should do. But so that's Rick Ross in a nutshell. He's got a brothel in his beard, and he likes the word boss for some reason.
Yeah.
He only likes that word because it rhymes with Rick Ross. That's the worst thing about it.
Yeah.
He's like, what rhymes with my name? Boss. Well, he probably created that as his first ever rap when he was about 6. Rick Ross is a boss. I'll remember that.
I think he was going by William back in those days.
Oh yeah, because Rick Ross isn't even his real name.
Yeah, Rick Ross is a real person. So
yeah. Interesting.
So yeah, he stole his name. He was a correctional officer, and now he's a drug dealing rapper apparently. Okay.
That's the thing that, yeah.
Yeah, we've talked about that enough. Yeah. Next on the list, another, not really good music, but he's loosely affiliated with good music, 2 Chainz.
See, I thought he was actually signed to Good Music. And I was sat there, again, with my thoughts about weaponizing bath salts and bringing about the zombie apocalypse, to thinking, why did Kanye sign this guy that completely seems like the antithesis of what Kanye is about? Because,
right.
You know, to me, 2 Chainz is latter-day crunk. It's all sort of absolutely zero substance.
Latter-day crunk.
Yeah. That's probably what he's going to use. That'd be awesome. I mean, latter-day crunk. And I say my name quite a lot. 2 Chainz.
Yeah, you're right. He's a party rapper. I mean, that's it. Yeah. You know, he makes music for the club. And that's about it. You're not going to hear, any introspective stuff from him. You know what I mean? Yeah.
2 Chainz does Immortal Techniques, Dance with the Devil.
Right.
2 Chainz. Yeah, you're not going to hear anything like that.
Yeah. So I find the guy to be completely annoying. If I've got my phone in my hand and I'm listening to a song and he's on it, I usually scrub through it, scrub through his verse, because I don't like him that well. But he is very popular, and he did sell records this year, and he was all over the place this year, you know.
Yeah, it was his year, wasn't it, really? And it's quite it, and also it does give hope because he's an old guy, isn't he? He's like 35? I know that's not old, but for this.
He's been rapping for years. I mean, he was signed to Ludacris's label, Disturbing the Peace, with Play a Circle.
Was this as his former moniker, Titty Boy?
Right, yeah.
See, all you need is a name change and you can sell millions. Just think about that.
Right. I wonder who convinced him to change his name.
Everybody on the planet ever that ever spoke to him.
Right.
Okay, we get the fact that you like tits, that's good. But really, how are we supposed to market this? Do we like dress you in just a suit made of tits? Like, how do we, what, you know, you're not helping us here. But, and then he probably looked down and he went, well, I've got two chains. That's it. We'll call you Two Chains. That's what we'll know you have. You know, it's basically the same sort of thought as Johnny Two Hats. You know, a guy that wears two hats. It's not, But he's a party rapper. The young kids that go out to the clubs, you know, probably dance to it, like you say. And I do think he should be on here. And he probably as high as he is, actually. Well, not two. Definitely top five, just for the fact that his presence in hip-hop has been felt this year, hasn't it? He's been all over everything, like herpes, so.
Somebody who's not on the list that I'm happy about is Lil Wayne.
He's not, but he didn't put out Carter Four wasn't this year, was it?
No, it wasn't.
So I can understand that. He's had a quiet year, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Just doing, he did Dedication Four and I can't remember anything else. Maybe his time in the spotlight's gone, I suppose.
I doubt that. Who knows? Well,
so
number one on the list, somebody I told you about that you didn't even know who it was.
Yeah, I'm still not mega sure. I know who he is, and I've heard his stuff.
Right.
I've still not listened to Good Kid, Mad City, though.
Kendrick Lamar, number one on MTV's Hottest MCs list.
Yeah.
This dude's mad talented, dude. He puts out good music. Like I said, he did it independently. I'm not sure his situation with Dr. Dre. I know Dr. Dre helped with Good Kid, Mad City, but it's not like he's on the aftermath or anything.
Right. Okay. So he did Good Kid, Mad City off his own label, did he?
Top Dog Entertainment.
Yeah.
And that's another one of the independent powerhouses out there. You know, they got J-Rock and Absol, Schoolboy Q, Black Hippie. Yeah, I don't know that the Black Hippie album's going to come out, but they all still tour together and make music with each other. You know what I mean? It is a family thing over there. So it's real cool for me to see such an actual MC at the top of this list. And somebody that is popular, but I don't feel like they've sold their soul, if you will, to be popular. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? He's not doing a bunch of crazy shit and, you know, Sprite commercials and shit like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, he's pretty much being himself. And it's, I don't know, he deserves it, man.
Well, I'm going to have to plead ignorance and I'll probably download it and put it on my phone this week because, you know, I do read a lot about him, you know, being really good and he's not, and all that I hear is that, you know, this guy doesn't rap the gangster stuff and he actually talks about things rather than the same old shit. I don't know whether that's true.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
That swimming pool song he puts out is very good. Yeah. The song he did with Drake's pretty good too. And there's a good video to go along with that. Poetic Justice.
Yeah, and that to me is where hip hop really needs to go. And like you say, it's a good thing. Even if we disagree with a lot that's on this list, that they've actually put a kid that's actually talented. He's actually representing himself rather than the easy road of the gangster lifestyle and the Rick Ross, you know, money, cash, hoes sort of thing.
Right.
And it's just a really good thing that this guy's probably, you know, doing his own thing, but also really popular. You can't say that's bad at all.
Nope. So this list, I think, is probably better than years past. I mean, I'd take off a few people here, and I'd put Tech N9ne on here. Yeah, I don't know how you leave Tech N9ne out of it. I really don't.
Has he mentioned it at all?
B.O.B. had a good year, too.
Yeah, it's odd. I know you can't put everybody on the list, but there are there are certain ones like the Drake thing. I've got no idea, and I'd like somebody to actually bring that up to whoever and say, look, what's Drake actually? What was his contribution to hip hop in this past year to rank him not only so high but actually on the list at all?
Right. Yeah, I don't know. There's, it's all. I'm sure if you and I sit down and put down a top 10 list, we'd get crucified too.
Exactly. None of it's, you're never going to get it wrong.
Yeah, it's all subjective, man. It's all subjective.
Yeah.
But MTV put it out there, and we got the right to pick this son of a bitch apart, and we did.
Exactly.
Yeah, so that was the MTV's top 10 hottest MCs. You can hop on MTV's website, take a look at that, and formulate your own opinion if you're inclined to do so.
Troll the fuck out of it.
Yeah. I don't know if there's a comment section or not. Nope. I'm sure it would be crazy. Well, I know on Rap Radar, I'm sure if you go to their comment section, it says all kinds of shit, but I just choose not to read that shit. But anyway, it's been real, man.
Cool. Let's make it sooner next time.
Yeah, definitely. We can get back on the same schedule. That'd be great. Go every couple weeks.
Yeah, cool. We'll do that, and we can talk about other things as well, and it should all be good.
Absolutely. Well, for Blogging Under the Influence, episode 92, I've been Mick.
And I've been Brent.
Okay, bye.
Bye.